I'm Jackie Vetrano from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
And I'm Logan Bishop from Belmont University. You're listening to Higher Ed Social, part of the Connect EDU network.
Hi, Erin.
Hello.
It's so nice to hear your voice.
Yes.
Yeah.
What's so funny is when I went to tweet you both that I was just doing the longest update in the whole world, I saw that the last time the three of us were in a Twitter chat together was a little over a year ago when we were like, hey, we need to have you on the show.
Whoops. We've tried a couple of times, I think.
We definitely have. And then we got into a little bit of like only talking to people that do marketing, and we're like, okay, we need to expand outside of marketing, even though we love Erin. And so here we are.
Oh, no worries. I'm excited.
We are too.
Yeah. It's this is the Thanksgiving episode, just an FYI.
Yes, because we get to be so thankful.
It literally is coming out on Thanksgiving.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my gosh,
Which means I have to edit real fast. So let's not
screw
up. I was
going to say you didn't give yourself too much time.
We could also take Thanksgiving Day off. I'm okay with it.
But now I've already said it's a Thanksgiving episode. So.
Oh, now everyone's going to know. All right, never mind. We don't take no sleep for the wicked or whatever.
Something like that.
I don't know what that is.
But like I said, as long as we don't screw up, then this episode won't need editing and I can just slap on a theme song. That's the general goal.
My computer is freshly updated, so that means nothing will go wrong. It reverted all my desktop backgrounds, which makes me really grumpy. And
did you put Mojave on your computer?
I did. Is that bad?
No, but yeah.
Why is it bad?
It's not bad. It's just when you that generic background that you see right there changes based off of what time of day it is.
That's kind of what I figured, because it was weirdly reflective of the time of day. I won't give away what time it is for our listeners. We're a super live show. We just recorded this 20 minutes ago. But yes, I was a little confused about that. And now I don't remember what my backgrounds were or where they lived on my computer. And like my computer was also telling me that my storage is almost full, which makes no sense because there's like basically nothing on this thing.
I hate that.
So I don't know what to do. I'm so lost. Should I just put everything in the cloud?
Yes. Well, and I need to have like 18 copies of everything though. So I've been in a bunch of cloud places and then in at least two hard drives. I just get panicky.
My problem is I don't really know what versions of things or how things are organized. Like I have an external hard drive, but then I think I tried to put stuff in the cloud and I'm pretty sure the cloud ate my stuff. Like I think I'm truly missing a lot of stuff and I cannot find it in the cloud.
And you have to have like an organization system figured out, which is always the most stressful part, because I know I've backed up images from like college and before that, but where they are, I don't know how to organize
all of mine are in iCloud.
16.
Right. But that's the thing is like iCloud wasn't a thing when I was I guess in college it was, but like,
but
before
do you know
that,
what was? Photostream was, and thus all of my photo streams from iPhoto were saved and transferred over, so they're all in iCloud now.
Logan, can I pay you money to find/organize my photos?
No. That's like the worst thing. I don't even
want
to organize my photos. Do you know what my photos are organized by? Day. That's what they are organized by.
But that's what, honestly, that's all I need, because it's like, oh, I know what time, like I know what year that was.
You know,
like,
if you open your phone and you use photos on your phone app, the machine learning within your iPhone will organize your photos by person at the very least and by place.
Can I turn that off?
I find that somewhat creepy. I don't mind the place because that's been helpful, but the face recognition freaks me out just a little
bit. Do you know what the difference is though? Facebook keeps it all in the cloud and your phone keeps it all in the phone, which is why whenever you get a new phone, it takes forever for it to get all the photos right.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
That's less scary. I still get nervous every time I have to update my phone and stuff.
Oh, me too.
It's going to go away.
Apple keeps everything on the device for the most part. Everything else is encrypted in the cloud, so. That's why Siri sucks. It's because she doesn't access servers like say Alexa or Facebook does. Not Facebook, but Google.
Google Home.
Yeah.
I'm looking through the people thing. Can I turn this off? It's really weird.
Is it weird because it's accurate, or is it
weird? It's
weird.
Well, it's semi-accurate. Like, it identifies me 1, 2, 3, 4 different times as 4 different people.
Yeah, that happens.
One is like pre-weight loss Jackie. The other is post-weight loss Jackie. One is Jackie with curly hair and glasses, and then the other is Jackie with a ponytail.
I feel like you're not complaining.
So I don't know why. Clearly face recognition doesn't work, I guess, would be my takeaway.
Well, you did look different.
I'll give them that. But even, like, it wasn't even
But see,
that,
if you tell it that you're the same person, then it will get better.
Combine them.
Oh, and why do I... Yeah. Why is my face favorited the whole time? I didn't favorite these things.
Are you sure?
Jackie really likes herself.
The only thing that was favorited was me. That's so weird. Is it just because there's mostly pictures of me?
Maybe.
This is so creepy. I don't like this.
No, I find that I feel that way a lot about technology, is that it's so awesome, and then also at the same time I'm like, yeah, but this is totally weird.
But I don't like it. Yeah. It's like I now understand, you know, what my like grandparents' generation is feeling about like you kids and your technology. Like I already feel that way and I'm 27. Like I don't like it. I really want to turn the people thing off and I don't know how. I can select people. What do? Oh, I can remove all the people, I guess. Anyway, hi, Erin.
Hello.
So excited to have you. Welcome. Welcome to the show. Now that I'm done complaining about technology, well, do you want to complain about technology and then introduce yourself, or do you just want to go right into introducing yourself?
Oh, if I start complaining about technology, I'll like just be there for years. So we shouldn't even open that can of worms. So just like who I am and what I do.
Literally, however, I always tell people however you want to introduce yourself. And then I would say 80% of the time our guests strictly talk about themselves in a professional capacity, which is cool and stuff. But like, we're here to get to know you.
As a person.
So whatever you would like to, however you'd like to identify yourself, for lack of a better phrase.
So I am Erin Spinka, and in my work life, I am the assistant director of digital engagement at Dartmouth College in Hanover, New Hampshire. But currently in my personal life, which is kind of, I feel silly because I'm actually outside in my car because I bought a duplex fixer-upper in July, and we only have one room that's kind of livable right now. And so my fiance and I kind of fight over who gets to be in charge at that moment. So like, what's on TV or what are we doing? And so I lost today, so I'm in the car. That's been which
that's
isn't
so
bad
because
it's actually nice and warm in here. So yeah, that's been filling up my free time because we bought a duplex that came with tenants, so I became a first-time homeowner and a landlord in like one day of signing paperwork.
Wow, tell me about that.
That sounds interesting.
Fascinating. We bought the house because it just makes sense in the area that we're living at. Like, we were paying rent that was equal to mortgage, and we had been saving, and we actually had been looking at buying, I think I posted this a couple of times on the internet, but we were looking to buy 50 acres and then 70 acres. And so like, we were really looking for raw land to build a house, get married on, the whole shebang. And like everything kept falling apart. So we were in the closing process twice and actually had the deals fall through like weeks before closing date. So, you know, almost past everything where everyone's like, oh, you're in the clear. Well, that did not happen for us. And both of those things fell through. And so one day I just kind of like was fed up, went on Realtor, found this house that was a duplex, was like, that's in our budget. This would make sense if we need to move for any reason. We can move and rent it out with no problem. There's a rental or a housing crisis in the area. There's always people looking for rentals. We went and saw it, and like a couple of weeks later, we owned it. So it was very odd and like backwards from what, and like whenever we told people we had bought something, everyone asked, oh, how much acreage? Like, what are you going to build on it first? And we're like, well, there's literally like 500 square feet of yard left that's not house. And it's a 100-some-year-old farmhouse in New England that is a duplex, and we're landlords. And they're like, wow, that sounds exactly opposite of what you were looking for. And we were like, yep. It is a fixer-upper, so we've been working, and so I haven't had a bath. Well, I have a bathroom. I don't have a shower in my house, so we've been showering at work / the gym since the end of September, which is oddly complicated when you just want to go to sleep or like just go to work.
Erin, I feel like we should just let you go and like go live your life, like, because I feel like we're inconveniencing you.
No, oh my God, this is so wonderful. I feel like not guilty not doing something on my house because I had other arrangements. I was like, oh, I have to do other things so that I can't work on the house. This is wonderful.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that is the most stressful to have. Actually, you are like the second guest now that we've had in the recent past that is simultaneously working on a new house and also decided to be a guest on our show and also work full time. So,
I put a light fixture up.
Great job, Logan.
It works with Alexa.
Oh, I love
that's like 100% different from Aaron's current situation. Aaron doesn't have a shower.
But see, I bought a house, like I actually built a house too. But it was just 10 years ago, so I've been there, I've done that. Now, granted, my yard is a little bit smaller, you know, the 0.7 acres that it is, but, you know, 45 minutes to mow isn't half bad.
No, that's not bad at all. Mitch can mow ours with a hand mower, one of those like push mower things. He mm-hmm. found it on the side of the road and fixed it up because he was super stoked to have like a non-electric push mower. I mean, it's cool, but I don't know if I would choose to mow our lawn that way, but
I have
he does
a Husqvarna. And it's orange and it's nice and it mulches, which is awesome. And, you know, see, currently my yard project is installing new landscaping lights.
Ooh.
So I just redid the lights in the front. And now I'm working on the back. So I put some uplighting I already had uplighting on the facade of the brick facade of the house, but now it's more intense because I got new lights, and I got a nice well uplight that goes up into the tree, so the tree lights up real cool in the front. And now I'm getting Philips Hue lights in the back, as they're never in stock, so I have to buy like one at a time. So I've got one back there, and then I'm going to get another spotlight back there to go up into the cherry tree that's in the back. And I'm really excited about that because I can like uplight it pink. Like when,
ooh, I was going to say, you're going to do the colored ones.
Yeah. I'm going to do the colored ones. I'm so excited to get one of those. I hope to get one by spring so that I can, and there's a Simon. Hi, Simon.
Why are you talking about?
Yeah, I'm talking on my microphone because I'm doing a podcast.
A microphone?
Yes, a microphone.
A microphone for singing?
Not for singing, for talking.
What about the other microphones?
I don't know. Where's mommy?
Mommy?
Come on, Simon.
Go find mommy.
Yeah, go find mommy.
Let's go.
No, I've got to do my podcast.
No, we're
so there we go. Simon's on the podcast.
Simon.
I don't know if you could actually hear him, but
we heard the whole thing.
Such a cute little voice.
I know.
For singing.
Is that a microphone? Is it for singing?
Yes, it's for singing.
He's getting a little southern accent. We're gonna have to fix that. Sorry about that. But anyway, definitely going to do uplighting for when the cherry tree blossoms.
Oh, that's going to be beautiful.
So it can be nice pink light up on it. Oh my gosh, it's going to be awesome. So excited.
That's going to be so exciting.
Yeah, Erin, do you have like plans for the house then? Or are you just kind of like, step one is bathroom. Let's get a shower in here.
We definitely have plans. It's just funny how it all like kind of went to hell. Because, you know, you hit one snag And what's really fascinating is that, you know, I grew up in like a 200-year-old plus farmhouse, so I know that like they're just all sorts of weird things you'll find when you open up walls. And what's really kind of nice about this place is that all of the like original work, so when you open up a wall and the plaster's there with all the like original hand hewn beams and stuff like that, they're in great shape. It's all of the work that was done like post 1970s till today that totally sucks. So while there's things that, you know, definitely you're like, well, that's not right, and that's not supposed to be that way, it's all new stuff, so it's relatively easy to take out, but it's nice because the bones are in still really, really good shape. Like everything's super true and just like a total hat tip to like how awesome craftsmen were back in the day and how we don't really do that type of work anymore.
I admire you so much. I'm like a little stressed out listening to you talk about this, to be honest with you, like all the work that you have to do, especially in the, like, did you pick this time of year specifically to make it hard, like bigger challenge, like no. Snow coming and like winter and cold?
It was honestly, I just like had a moment of like, I'm so sick of renting, and this is, we've been looking for somewhere to buy / start investing in for a year and a half, 2 years, and I just had like had enough, and I just went for it. And it just kind of all came together weirdly at a weird time, which was kind of super stressful because I actually moved out of my, where we were renting, mostly by myself with the help of like my mom and my aunt who came up, because I had sent Mitch, Mitch on a 10-day trip to Latvia for a timber framing course for his Christmas present last year.
Of course.
Year.
That's what all men want.
I just, okay, finish what you're saying, and then I'm going to ask questions.
And so we had, like, I had bought it back in December of last year, and so, like, you had to book which course they were going to be part of when you put the money down. And so I picked, you know, the fall September course because I was like, oh, this will be nice. It'll be kind of like when school is starting to like slow down, like kids will be back. It won't be super hectic for me. And you know, what are we going to be doing in September of 2018? Well, fast forward to this year, it was literally the 10 days before we had, like, there were 2 days that we still had our rental when he came back. So like there were 2 days that he was here for like the move out process. But generally, it was me by myself because he was in Latvia learning how to build timber frame housing.
That's good knowledge for the future apocalypse, though.
It is. When you were looking at buying, we were looking at buying 70 and 50 acres. We were like, this totally makes sense. It's an investment. And he totally had a blast, but not necessary. It's not really required knowledge right now for the house we're currently working on.
But you never know.
Who knows?
But I know. I know how you feel, because that really intense feeling of just, oh my gosh, let's just do it. You know, it's, especially when it comes to house stuff, is it's real. I mean, there are too many, like, well, to me, it feels like nesting, like, but it's not. Like, I don't mean to say that that's what it is, but it's just like all of a sudden you just feel like, oh my gosh, I have to clean something, or oh my gosh, I have to buy a house, or oh my gosh, like, I'm sick of this apartment. I'm sick of renting. I'm finally ready for like something real, you know? Yeah. And it's kind of a commitment thing. It's kind of an investment thing. And it's kind of a, also, I finally want to have an abode that I own, that no one can take away from me.
And I can hang up pictures and put holes in my wall when I have walls.
Heck yeah, except you won't for like 5 years. And I still have, we've lived in this house 10 years and we barely hung up anything. Because I don't want to ruin the walls.
I do feel that way because we painted our bedroom this really pretty color, and like I hate.
And command strips are so messing expensive. It up.
Oh, they're dumb. They don't work well.
They don't work great, and, you know, they just require a lot. You have to put, like, six of them on the back of it, so why not just, like, you know, lean it against the wall on a dresser. You know?
This is like the HGTV episode of our show.
And I mean, I'm happy with that.
Well, I think it's cool to talk about homey things. It's Thanksgiving. Everybody is sitting around.
Right, everyone's back home.
Everyone's sitting around a turkey, you know, talking with family, listening to the Higher Ed Social Podcast, because you know everyone's going to listen to it with their families.
It's our yearly tradition in my house.
Yeah, is it? Because I almost believe I wouldn't be surprised if it was.
And then, you know, listen to this podcast. So, you know. But no, I'm totally for it. I'm going to disagree on the command strip front. I've had nothing but good luck with command strips. I'm sitting in my living room and I can see like 1, 2, 3, 4 things on my walls that are hanging with command strips right now.
Give it like 3 years and then it will fall off.
Yeah. And when I try to remove them, I do the very best that I can on trying to remove them properly to not remove paint. And one of two things happens. I either still remove paint or it snaps back and like breaks my finger.
Yep.
And it is, I say things that I would never, ever say ever in that moment because of that pain. I'm just like, straight up bleep out everything. But oh my God, it's the worst.
I get really anxious when I'm pulling that thing off the wall and I like, I'm already cringing and like my one eye is shut and I'm like clenching my teeth. It's terrible.
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't decided how you get the ones when you put like 4 on them. Like, how do you get them off?
Well, so the key is, in my opinion, you get the Velcro command strips. Like,
well, that's the ones that I have.
The sticky. So what are you asking about getting off the wall?
Well, here's the thing. Like, that Velcro is on so strong. Like, I feel like, because I pulled on it one time, right? And it feels like it's going to tear the frame of the picture before the Velcro gives up.
Oh, or do damage go for to it. The wall. Like it's going to pull off the other connection.
I'd rather it pull the wall off than break the frame, you know? Because, you know.
I would just say you just kind of got to trust the process, pray to the command strip gods. Pull.
Trust 3M is what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah, just say a little prayer.
Mm. Yeah.
That's what I do, but I've had nothing but, you know, success with it.
Well, if everything works out, then I won't have to pull that thing off for a long time.
That's true. Or you just, you know,
your house.
You just cut the wall, cut a big hole where the frame is, keep the wall with the frame.
Move it to the new house.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You just keep getting layers of wall behind the frame. Pretty soon it'll be like 3 feet off the wall. It'll be great.
I mean, there's a piece of me that's like thought about, you know, it would be nice to have a nicer house. But now that everything is so expensive here in Nashville, like, I guess I'm just going to stay here.
Okay, I thought you were going to say, now that everything's unpacked, I don't want to pack and move. Because that's like my mentality. And
what are you talking
about?
All my stuff is still in the garage. There's a huge chunk of boxes in the garage. Never opened them up.
I would just throw it out at this point. You don't even know what's
in there. There might be stuff in there I need.
Clearly not. If it's been 10 years.
How do you know that? I don't know that yet.
Because it's been 10 years.
There could be priceless books in there.
I doubt it.
The logic part of me is saying, yes, Jackie, you're 100% correct. But the part of me that has boxes that I can't get rid of, despite the fact that I haven't opened them since I graduated college, is telling me that I can't get rid of them.
There are memories of college in there.
That you don't care about, Logan.
I could one day. How about when like reunion time comes around and I'm like, oh, I should really go look at my college
memories.
I feel
nostalgic.
That's one thing. Every time I've gone home now, my dad is slowly giving me like one thing that I've made them keep for whatever reason. Yep. And I definitely had an issue as a child. I didn't let my parents throw anything away that I did in school. So like I made them keep like everything. And so, and I say poor parenting, mom and dad, because you should have just thrown it away when I wasn't looking.
Absolutely.
Like, or put it in a trash can that I didn't see because then I wouldn't have known. But so that's exciting. He's very excited to give me boxes of my preschool drawings and stuff like that.
Yeah, unfortunately, I've been getting the same thing, but it's because my parents are, like, planning to downsize. So I don't get, like, my stuff. I just get stuff that they don't want. And so, like, I distinctly remember I got sent home with a box, and it included a gallon-sized bag. And I don't know if these are still a thing or if they're made, but remember when it was a fad that ice cubes were actually made out of, like, plastic with water inside of them? Yeah, so a gallon-sized bag of, like, Hawaiian-themed ice, like, plastic ice cubes. I don't need those. I'm good. I have an ice maker. I also have trays to make ice. I'm okay. Like, I don't need these things.
Yeah, but you could use them when you're making your old-fashioned to make them just a little more festive.
I'm not going to do that. Is that me saying, Logan, are you drinking an old-fashioned? Was that the door you opened for me to walk through? Got it. Here for it. We've only been doing this podcast for 4 years, so I've been figuring out Logan's little hints.
It's Thanksgiving week. I should give thanks to the whiskey god.
Yes.
So Aaron, is all your free time just taken up by this house then? I was gonna be like, so like what else do you like to do? But I feel like that's pretty much it.
No, that's mostly it right now anyway. but we have our two dogs, so we have to, like, take them out and stuff like that. No, I have a bearded dragon, too, and that's a traumatic story. Yeah, so I've had a bearded dragon since I rescued her from Craigslist when I was going into my second year in college. And for the longest time, like, her name is Norbert, and so the vet that I took her to get checked out said that she was a he and all these things, and then last year I came home because she's like around 8 or 9 years old now because she was a couple years old when I rescued her. She had like all of these white things in her tank and I was just convinced that she was dying. Like I just was like, this is it. Like Norbert's going out. It never once crossed my mind that like those were eggs and that she had laid eggs. But so that was that. So other than working on the house, it's mostly taking care of them. And surprisingly, I don't know. I like just think about now, like I just have a house and two dogs and an animal, a fiance who's 26 and generally self-sufficient and a job. And I'm like, how do people have children and other things in their lives? This is crazy.
I completely agree. Completely agree. Can barely handle having a cat. Like, absolutely not ready to be a full grown adult yet.
No, me neither.
Turns out that they feed themselves, once they reach a certain age.
Yeah,
and then you can conscript them to do chores once they reach a certain date, which takes the amount of work off of you that you're currently doing.
That is drastically moving up, like my when should we have children? Because I'm like, wow, it would be really great if I had someone else to do the dishes or to fold the laundry.
If you had one now, by the time you're my age, they could be running the house.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
For better or worse, though. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. It depends on how well you train them.
How well you train them.
Our dogs are well trained, so I feel like we might have a promise there.
You could maybe train your dogs to do dishes.
I tried. They're pretty useless when it comes to that. They will lick everything.
I think it's the lack of the opposable thumbs that makes that hard.
I'm not a scientist, but that does sound reasonable.
It is.
I still have not taught my cat to do anything useful. It would be nice if she cleaned her own litter box, but...
That would be nice.
She doesn't. Spoiler.
Spoiler.
Spoiler. So I wanted, Aaron, I think everyone knows you already because we talked pretty much all about you in another episode, which we normally don't talk about, like we don't talk about each other behind each other's backs on the podcast because we know they'll listen, but we kind of did that for you. But I feel like we should talk about Hyatt Webb because you didn't get the chance to talk about it.
First of all, I want to say that podcast has now become like this piece of my self-care routine. Whenever I'm like in a slump or just stressed out about things, I'll like pop plop it on and just listen to it because it
that
makes me so happy.
That explains a whole lot.
I was going to say that's why we have so many listens on that episode.
I was wondering about that. I was like, that is just an outlier.
<They're all> Aaron.
I really have only listened to it a couple of times because I like, even if I'm by myself, I get embarrassed because I'm listening to people talk about myself. Pause. Like, so I just get in this weird, like, oh, wait, like, this is so weird. You're listening to people talk about you, compliment you. Like, get over yourself, Aaron. I'm like, okay, I'll stop listening. So
don't
I try
worry,
to
Aaron.
Reserve it.
It's nowhere near as awkward as listening to yourself in your own car absolutely. With other people in the car. There's nothing absolutely. More awkward than that.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too. You
it's
are...
a lot better to hear other people talk about how awesome you are than to hear yourself talk about, I don't know, Alexa and the lights that you have installed in your front lawn.
It's so true. So we give you permission, Aaron, to listen to it whenever you want. And no, listeners and should go back and listen to it, too, if you haven't listened
yes.
to it yet.
I definitely sent it to, like, my fiance and then my best friend, Jason. And then he sent it to the people that I have met through him. So it was this cute little, like, love on Aaron party, which
yay.
Made my day the
feel
other
feel free to
like,
do that again so that
week.
We can get more listens to the show.
Yeah, send them this one, too. This is great. Aaron is our new marketing strategy.
No, but oh my God, that podcast seriously made my day. I was like, I have the worst luck when it comes to flying and I always get delayed/trapped somewhere. And, so I think I was like super grumpy in an airport. I don't even know where one of my layovers, cause I had two coming back from, cause Sacramento is really hard to fly to.
It's so far away. It's
like,
so
it was
far
really
away.
Difficult to find like not an absurd route, but anyway, so, oh my God, that made my life. But, so I've been to Hyatt Webb National now twice, and the first time was Memphis for me. But what's even cuter is back whenever Hyatt Webb was doing regionals, I presented with Ashley and my student coworker Tanner, Nicole from, oh, I always blank on which, Burlington, Champlain, and her student. And so we did like a little panel at the North New England Regional Hyatt Webb, and it was so like, just like full circle and it made me so happy. But I've had so many people reach out to me and it's been so wonderful because I do all of this work and like it's really useful to me, but then I kind of get stuck in this like, yeah, I can only share it with so many people on campus and it'd be helpful to them to a certain degree. And so like I do all of this work, it serves its purpose, but I know how much work I put into it and I'm like, well, other people should use it too. Because I spent a lot of time on it and I know how much time this takes. So why keep it? And so it's been so like, it's been so good because I don't think people, I don't know. The Hyatt space has always been really cool in that way where people really do share. But I haven't always had a ton of luck with actually getting like people to respond back. So they'll say, yeah, I'll totally send that to you. And then I follow up with them and like, don't get anything back. And it's because we're busy, crazy people. But so I've just been like so thankful for an opportunity to just like, even if people don't use it, I'm like, here, this is what I spent, you know, time researching and putting together. And this is what I'm doing. And if you don't use it, that's fine. But hopefully it saves you 10 minutes of, okay, so I'm definitely not going to do that. But it's been so great. Cause like, I just feel like as a result, I've been able to have so many more conversations with people and hear what they're doing and how things like are different at their university versus mine and mm-hmm. how they're using the stuff.
So. Yeah. I was going to say too, for, I guess for our listeners who were rude and missed our episode where we talked about you, if you want to recap your presentation briefly and what it was about.
Oh, so, I talked about how I do my job at Dartmouth. And how I built out our social media strategy to be really, really tangible in the sense that I have it built within frameworks that support institutional goals as well as like needs and requirements for just doing my day-to-day job. And what that's allowed me to do is continually prove the value of what we're doing on social. And I know that's something that unless you're in like admissions offices or advancement offices that have direct connections to number of applications or, you know, number of dollars fundraised a year, it can be really hard to tie measurable goals to social strategy in higher ed. And so I just talked a bit about that and how, you know, I worked my way through figuring it out with, like just by going through what we were already publishing and talking about Dartmouth, when I came on board, and it was just, it was so much fun. I keep thinking back and I'm like, that was so much fun. Like, I just talked about what I did and it was helpful to people. And that makes me so happy because it also it kind of confirms that I'm not just wandering around helplessly making things up as I go. Like, hey, this actually resonates. People do this too. I'm not alone.
Yep.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah, it looks, I got to watch your presentation and I definitely could tell you were having fun, which is always the best part.
Yes, I had a lot of fun.
Good. Yeah, those conferences always make me feel better about, like, oh, I'm not the only one dealing with this problem, like, yeah, on my campus. My
God. That's, like, hands down the best part of it. It doesn't, like, I can go and not take notes at any of the sessions, but it's the conversations in between where, mm-hmm. like, someone just says, this is what we're doing, and you're like, oh, my God, that's exactly what I've been trying to solve. Mm-hmm. Tell me everything. And then they do, because they're like, I mean, yes, we're competitors in some, like, strange sense, but ultimately we're all just trying to get to make the experiences at our institutions the best for our communities. Mm-hmm. And if you end up showing a student somewhere else might be better for them, that's not a bad thing. It's ultimately a good thing. You want people that really connect and fit in with the priorities and goals of your institution to come there, because if you make up, like, I always think about, I went to school in Rochester, New York. Like, if they had lied to me and said, like, oh, it only snows 3 times a year, I would have been really angry and transferred because yep. I would not have been aware of the true weather that they
Let's have. Be honest. Technically, there are probably 3 days it doesn't snow in Rochester. So those are clear breaks between the three snows.
Yeah.
So it really does only snow 3 times a year. It's just that, you know, it just lasts for weeks at a time.
If you count them continuously.
Exactly.
It's a good point, though. I'm glad that, well, it's actually funny because, like, conferencing is what in part inspired this podcast too. And I think they're really important. Like, this is, I always preach this, I feel like, on the show, but, like, how important conferencing is for professional development, just, like, generally, because, like you said, like, sometimes people are, like, one man shows. Mm-hmm. And so when they have a problem, they don't really have people around them that they can necessarily ask to help solve it, because they don't, those people don't do the same thing. And so where can you go? How can you figure out how to solve the problem? Like, you can do a couple Google searches, but sometimes it's like, I don't even know what to Google search to solve this problem. Like, you can't, you can't always do that. So I'm a big, big fan of professional development and conferencing and networking.
One of my favorite things to say about people that work in social media is that generally, and this is, like, just from going home and having conversations with people who, like, ask, what do I do and stuff like that, is the really great thing is that no one exactly knows what social media, like, people do 100% unless you are one.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also the worst part of the job, is that it's hard for you to have, like, those conversations with coworkers or friends or whatever to explain, like whenever something is taking up a lot of your time because lots of people are responding or engaging, like, people don't realize how taxing that can be, or how, you know, it, even if someone didn't pick up on something, like, I always think of, like, when I see really bad marketing decisions made by institutions, and people don't necessarily make it into an issue. And so, like, I just think of that social media manager at that university or that brand or whatever, sitting there going, like, just kind of holding their breath, waiting to see if it catches the right attention, or if it catches fire because it's a poorly misworded whatever or something like that. I think of, like, some of the athletic departments that make kind of questionable graphics, and don't think about the larger picture and how it plays into, you know, a larger conversation that's happening. And so that's always the hardest part, is that no one knows what you do. At the same time, is it's the greatest part because you get to do really cool things, or you get to explore and, like, spend time on things because people are still figuring out what's valuable, and you get to become the expert. There was someone I met at the conference, and I won't share names and stuff to protect privacy, but they came from an institution that had a really, really awesome main social account. And it looked like they, this university had all of their stuff figured out. And yet, whenever I started speaking to this person, they brought up the fact that they have no support from that main group, like that the main channels and the main resources. Yes, they're public and public facing, but there's not a whole lot of internal community building, which struck me as really, really kind of frustrating. Because, you know, I personally go to this place and look at their resources because I'm always kind of like, oh, wow, like they have their stuff figured out. And yet I spoke to this person that was like, well, you know, yeah, it looks great, but I've never had a conversation with any of them ever. And I've been there for X amount of years. And this conference was the first time that they had been able to go out and talk to people that do what they do. And I was like, how, like, first of all, that's really frustrating to me. I don't understand, like, whatever. But at the same time, like, that's, it's so true, I think, for so many people across our campuses that, you know, these are sometimes the only outlets where someone knows what they're doing or can talk to similar topics and things that we're covering in our day-to-day.
Absolutely. I mean, I look back at my first, in my first job doing social media, I didn't know anybody in the field. My boss had no idea what social media was. I just got lucky because she was basically like, oh, you're a millennial, you can do our social media accounts. And I got hired. And so I was just like thrown into the water to figure it all out by myself. And like, it's a wonder I didn't post something that kind of like got misconstrued or was not appropriate or was not the best use of social media or whatever, like that, you know, somebody's going to see and blow out of proportion, because I didn't have any like proper training. I was just like, yeah, sure, I know how Facebook works.
I use that sometimes.
Such a different time now. Such a
it
different
is.
Time.
It's crazy. I see people coming out with like degrees and concentrations in like digital engagement or digital strategy. And granted, I was able.
Back in my day, we didn't have that in college. We had to learn it ourselves.
And so, like, that's the other piece is, like, first of all, I don't understand how they can, like, I can understand the basics and, like, you know, the foundations behind this as, like, that's totally teachable and, you know, those don't change. But, like, the nuance of the platforms, I don't know how anyone builds social media and, like, digital engagement into their curriculum without Absolutely. Just basically, like, a this is what we're going to cover, but there's a 75% chance that it's going to be completely different by the time we get to it in week 10 or whatever. So
yeah.
It's pretty fascinating to me how people fold it into their curriculums anymore.
Well, to be totally honest, I think that that is what has made social networks both evil and just not social.
Yeah.
What we do on Facebook these days is no longer about engaging our audiences. They superficially say, you know, oh yeah, engage your audiences, create, you know, relevant content, blah, 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 blah. But when you talk about it like that, it just takes like the whole point away from it. You know, when people care more about the number of likes and comments that you get on whatever, the less you talk about actually engaging your, you know, audience, like actually being part with them, like connecting with them, responding to them, being empathetic to them, you know, that's kind of the thing that I think has been lost in social media since I started it. And it's sad. Because now it's all, and I get it. I mean, I'm obviously do marketing on it, but at the same time, no one looks at it as a place to actually engage with people, right? And that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
It's no longer about conversations anymore. So, yeah. Oh, well, that's just Logan.
Well, that's like, so part of my presentation that I talked about was like the fact that I really made it a point to emphasize that engagement and like making sure that we were translating that community sense that happens on our physical campus location to the online version of our community. And while it's like, it's still challenging sometimes, but we try, like, I just have had so many meetings with people that, you know, want to start the social account, but don't want to have commenting turned on or something. And I'm like, you know, that's like the point of this is to transfer or to recreate that feeling of community to the best that we can mm-hmm. onto our social presences. And it's definitely increasingly challenging because Facebook doesn't make it easy for you. And I mean, Twitter is always a hot mess. Like Instagram is one of the few places that I feel at all kind of like I can actually build somewhat of a community. And like, I don't know why that is other than maybe like I like it better personally. So it's kind of bleeding in there, but I don't know. I go back and forth. Like I love Facebook and I hate Facebook. And I've always been a fan of Twitter for personal reasons. I'm generally disappointed in their lack of ability to police their platform. But I've always felt that that's been a good community builder. It's just, it's so all over the place now that it's hard to find, you know, kind of a good space to consistently be in. I love Instagram for community right now, but we'll see how that changes.
Who knows? I really hope it doesn't. I truly think Instagram is the happiest place because it is the most, as a user, you have the most control of your content there.
Yeah.
Because people aren't resharing, they're not retweeting, they're not sharing, you know, they're not getting. Well, you don't have that option on Instagram is what I mean. Like it's not.
Well, the thing is, the people do it.
Right, but it's not in the platform, so that means less people are doing it.
Yeah, it's like an extra, like, couple of, like, it's a kind of a pain in the butt to be able to regram something unless you have the app or whatever. And mm-hmm. and for the most part, I see people just, like, taking a screenshot and cropping it because they don't want the regram symbol or whatever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I really appreciate Instagram, like, holding tough to some of their mm-hmm. original, like, ways. I don't know. I've been kind of the anti popular opinion in a couple of things. Like on Twitter, I don't think you should be able to edit tweets, even though I've made mistakes and wanted to change it myself. But I think the fact that you can't edit tweets is pretty important to the platform. And I also don't think that Instagram should allow linking in posts. Like, I don't mind the shopping stuff because I mm-hmm. buy way too much on Instagram. But I don't know. I just like the fact that, like, that forces brands and different accounts to tell a story within the platform
right.
rather than relying on being able to push them right out to, you know, the website link or whatever.
No, I'm not in the edit tweet camp with you, but I am in the,
yeah, I'm pretty alone in that one.
I am in the, Instagram link, camp just because like just being, I mean, in higher education, it's always like, get people to the website. And it's like,
yeah.
or don't, right? Because we're trying to, if the goal of your division is enrollment, if the goal is like asking for money, like, high school students are not going to Instagram to apply for college yet. They are not, alumni are not going to Instagram to give you money. Like, this is not the platform for that. And it's really frustrating because I think we lean on these platforms way too much. Like, oh, we'll just post it on Instagram and everyone will give us money.
Yeah.
And really it's like, no, we'll post it on Instagram and everyone's going to feel good about us. So then later when we send them that email appeal, they'll give us
yeah.
money.
Yeah.
Or we're going to showcase how great it is to be a student here and they're going to be interested and go to our website and learn more or like schedule a tour. And so I think it's so challenging to break away from the thinking of we just have to push people to a certain place because there are platforms for that, but not every platform is like that. And I think it's
yeah.
really easy for us to think that way, but that's not the solution.
Yep. I totally agree. And like, that's something else that that I talked about, not to bring it back to myself in my presentation, but that's something that I pushed for like with these frameworks is that, you know, not everything has the goal of getting people to a website. Like it could just be, we want this post to make people feel good. And I mean, people do that all the time with like the pretty snow, like slow motion. I call it snow motion, videos of their like snow falling on campus for the first time or when the leaves change. And like, we put it out there, and I know people always talk about like, oh, like, what does that really do for you in the end? And I think every institution has part of their strategy, you know, reminding people why they love where they went. And like, for us, it's absolutely a bajillion photos of Baker Tower. I try not to rely super heavily on our library, but people love seeing pictures of that throughout the year. I still truly believe that I could have an Instagram account with just pictures of our library tower, and people would eat it up.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just like, as long as you have that built into your strategy, I find it's a lot easier to argue the case that like, mm-hmm. okay, not everything we're going to put up should directly relate to, oh, that got us another app filled out or this X amount of clicks mm-hmm. to our story or whatever. Like sometimes it's just about a good feeling.
Yep.
And you know, that's a great way to end the show this week.
I agree. All about those good feelings, those good, thankful feelings.
Yes.
Yes. So happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yes. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you for having me on. And I'm thankful for this podcast, you guys. Like, thank you for continuing to do this, even though I know you both have crazy, crazy lives.
Well, we are thankful that you were part of the show finally, all these years later, and you waited for us patiently.
It's been an honor.
And listeners, we're thankful to you. And we ask that you go down to highered.social and learn more about the many episodes that we've had, including the episode where we talked about Erin behind her back. Good things, though. Good things. In a bar. Actually, in the basement of a bar. But, you know.
That makes it sound even better.
If you like the show, consider giving us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps people find us. And it lets us know what you think of the show. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at HES Podcast. We love tweets. We sometimes reply to them, and we love talking to you. And don't forget to let us know if you want to be on the show. Higher Ed Social is produced by the amazing Emma Haas and is part of the Connect EDU Network, the first podcast network for higher education. Visit the website connectedu.network and subscribe to some awesome shows no matter where you work on campus. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.